The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
After 15 years in the Saints and 20 years in the NFL,
our dad is finally going to retire.
So we can spend more time with us.
Yay!
Oh my goodness. Can they get any cuter? I don't know what's giving me more life this morning, gentlemen. If it's Stephen A's open, because that intensity, I really needed that on a Monday, Stephen A. Really bringing it out of the gate. Dan Orlovsky's with us. Max Kellerman, as always, good to see you, Max. And guys, we're going to have a really fun show today. Obviously, a lot to get into and super excited about March Madness. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But let's start with Drew Brees, one of the best to ever do it. You just saw his beautiful children calling it a career after 20 NFL seasons, writing on social media. Listen to this. I am only retiring from playing football. I'm not retiring from New Orleans. This is not goodbye, rather a new beginning. Now my real life's work begins. Again, showing the character and heart of one of the greatest to ever do it. Stephen A., I'll start with you. What do you think Drew Brees' legacy is?
Well, I think he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. Anytime you pass for 80,000 yards, you lead the NFL. You're number one in history in terms of passing yards. I believe touchdowns were 571, if I remember correctly. His accuracy was one of the all-time greats in terms of that. And I think that he was class personified. I mean, a lot of noise was made during the whole social justice issue movement about, you know, what his opinions were and how they differed from that of his teammate Malcolm Jenkins and others. But the reality is that anybody that knows Drew Brees knows that he's been class personified. He's been a voice on behalf of the players for the NFL Players Association. He's just a class individual. He's a champion. He's an all-time great as a passer. There's no doubt about that. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in the booth as well. He's going to have a challenge in that regard because I think that Tony Romo has raised the bar with his charisma, with his football acumen as well. But we know that Drew Brees has that. There's no question about that. But having that charisma in the booth for NBC, that'll be interesting to see. But that's the only question mark about him. Nobody's going to ever question his credentials. Nobody's going to ever question the fact that he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks. And to be quite honest with you, one of the all-time great people. Mm-hmm. So I think that who would have ever thought that we'd see a retirement announcement like that with your four kids and doing that? Such a beautiful, beautiful scene. But it's typical of what you get from Drew Brees, a guy that gets it done and is class personified in doing so. And just leaves and touches on your heartstrings and things of that nature. I'm just happy for him. He's 42 years of age, and obviously he thought it was time to go, and it is, and by and large, by the way most of us feel. And nothing but the best to him. Looking forward, moving forward.
Pardon. Look, Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. When I think Drew Brees, I will think accuracy. He's the most accurate quarterback I've ever seen. And I referred to the social media thing. It went viral a little while back where he's competing against an Olympic archer. An Olympic archer. And the Olympic archer from the same distance hits the bullseye like 3 out of 10 times, and Drew Brees hit it 7 out of 10 times, something like that. He's more accurate with the football than an archer, an Olympic archer. And I think New Orleans, you know, getting traded from San Diego to New Orleans. He became, and then going through Katrina and then winning a Super Bowl there. And then even what he says, I'm retiring from football, not from New Orleans. I absolutely identify him with that area. But more than all that stuff, Drew Brees has something. If you've ever been in the same room with him, ever talked to him, and I have a couple of times through the years, he has something. Guys, Magic Johnson has this. When Magic Johnson walks into a room, you can see that everyone in that room wants to be the best version of themselves. It's not, they don't want to let Magic down. He has that, whatever it is he has that makes people feel that way. And he also somehow makes you believe in yourself. Drew Brees, who I've not dealt with nearly as much as Magic, he walks into a room, everyone feels good. And there's something about it's you mentioned charisma that Tony Romo has on the air. It's a different kind of charisma or effect on other people. And it is you can see why he was a great quarterback and a great leader. And that's what I'll remember about Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think Drew Brees is the greatest free agent signing in the history of the NFL. It's better than Reggie White. He's better than Peyton Manning. It's better than when Deion Sanders signed as a free agent. I think he's the greatest or one of the greatest players at his position to ever come into the NFL. And he's probably a better person in comparison to the player that he was. He absolutely, unquestionably has earned a seat at the table when we have the conversation of greatest of all times. We're talking about a guy, there's 11 times in the history of the NFL has a quarterback thrown for 5,000 yards in a single season. Drew Brees has done it 5 times. He's got the greatest completion percentage in the history of the NFL. 6 out of the top 9 seasons, Drew Brees has. There's been 3 quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that have a QBR of 70 or more. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. He leads in yards. He leads in completions. He's got the streak of complete touchdown passes on consecutive games, 54. He's going to hold multiple NFL records. He's one of the best quarterbacks that we've ever seen come into the NFL. But it's also his impact on just quarterback play. You know, quarterback conversation 15 years ago, we used the word accuracy. Max, you just did. I actually think Drew Brees took it to a different level. There's a different difference between being accurate and being able to have ball placement. His ball placement's the greatest ever. And now that makes us look at quarterbacks a little bit differently. I also question, would Russell Wilson be Russell Wilson and the Russell Wilson that we know of without a guy like Drew Brees? Without a guy that was shorter and didn't have the strongest arm and had to make up for those things, had to take weaknesses and make them strengths by work ethic and mindset and focus and all that stuff. So I think his impact on football is unmeasured. And we don't really appreciate how great of a person when it comes to that Drew Brees was. So greatest free agent signing in the history of the NFL to me.
Works for me. Works for me, Molly.
Guys, can I get in here? Because I want to talk a little bit more about the numbers. And Dan, you mentioned some of them because they're really quite impressive. And I didn't realize he was first in so many categories. So I want to pull up a full screen really quick, obviously, for this future Hall of Famer here. He's first in pass yards, gentlemen, first in completions, first in completion percentage, and second in pass TDs. I mean, really tops in these imperative categories. So, Max, I'll ask you this. Does he belong in the top tier of best quarterbacks of all time?
Don't do this to me this morning. You're going to make me this guy this morning, Molly.
I have to.
He just retired.
His
kids are there, and I admit he's a Hall of Famer and an all-time great. I interpret that question to mean, is among the greats all time, is he in the inner sanctum of those greats? My answer is no. Again, I take no pleasure in saying that this morning because he just retired and I have a lot of admiration for him and I love to watch him. My answer is no. The inner sanctum, look, guys, you should be a top, sometimes the best quarterback in the league. Certainly like one of the two best quarterbacks in your era. And always in the top three. That simply hasn't been the case for Drew Brees. You can pretend to be shocked by that, Dan, but the fact of the matter is...
I just don't understand how you get to that. How do you get to that?
Well, when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers were all in the league, Drew Brees was fourth and among that group. And then now there's Patrick Mahomes instead of Peyton Manning, but it remains the same. Drew Brees is an all-time great. Love him. But when you talk about the very greatest of all time, he's probably in the top 10. I think there's a good argument that he's right around 9 or 10. But you could even argue a little bit lower. You could argue a little higher, but certainly not top 5. He was never the best player in the league. Almost never really the second best player in the league. And so if you're talking about the absolute, like, who are the greatest of the greatest, there was Brady and Peyton, and then Rodgers. Brees was not quite there. There was Montana, and if you want to talk about other guys who you might compare to Brees and who maybe I was a little more impressed with when they were at their very best, Marino, John Elway, Brett Favre, and he fits in there with those guys, but maybe not at the top of that list. So an all-time great, first ballot Hall of Famer, among my favorites, if you're asking me, is he in the top tier of the all-time, then you're forcing me to say no.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. I love you. You're out of your mind. We just rattled. He's first in a bunch of statistical categories. The one he's second in is behind Tom Brady. He never had a consistent defense the way that Aaron Rodgers did, or the way that Tom Brady did, or the way that Peyton Manning did. And you're allowing a freak play, the Minnesota Miracle, or a horrific officiating situation against the Rams to jade your view, because he's got a ton of statistical rankings. He's one of the greatest ever when it comes to all that stuff. He's got his Super Bowl trophy. He revitalized the city. Like, what else would he have needed to do to say that he's in a top tier? That's like saying Phil Mickelson isn't in the top tier of greatest golfers ever. He is. He just happened to do it in the same era as Tiger Woods. Like, you can't knock Drew Brees for playing in the same era as the greatest quarterback ever.
But who is the fourth best golfer of the Tiger Woods era? That's the point.
What?
Drew Brees was usually around the fourth best quarterback in the league. Sometimes the third, usually around the fourth, Dan.
So you're going to knock him for playing in the same time frame as inarguably the greatest quarterback ever, and arguably probably a top two, three quarterback ever in Peyton Manning? So you're going to take those guys around. And what and I love Aaron, and Aaron's up there for me. So, disclaimer, why is Aaron ahead of him? Because he's more talented? Because they have the same amount of Super Bowl trophies? Drew Brees has more.
Aaron Rodgers is better.
But why? Why? What? Because he's
every
more talented.
Every year, Aaron Rodgers' presence on his team means the odds makers make the Packers among the favorites to win the Super
team,
Bowl.
Max.
Because they have Aaron Rodgers.
Max,
not,
because
a lot of
Aaron Rodgers
that wasn't the case.
Aaron Rodgers consistently had better defenses than Drew Brees. Consistently.
Dan, Drew Brees played half his games in a dome where he put up great numbers. Like, I don't want to, like, he's an all-time great. But when we're talking about the uppermost crust, the guy should have probably multiple MVP awards, usually be considered the best or maybe the second best quarterback in the league, not usually fourth or maybe sometimes third. And by the way, passing stats in this era have gone through the roof. Of course the numbers are going to look better for the quarterbacks of this era.
First of all, I think it's important that both of you just calm down. There's no need to be this emotional this early. I mean, you really, really need to just calm it down, just dial it in just a little bit there. That's number one. Number two, here's the one thing that I will say, Dan Orlovsky. I do not have Drew Brees as a top five quarterback of all time because of that second Super Bowl championship that escaped him. Me personally, I definitely have him top 10 all time. I definitely have him as a future first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, and I don't think there's anything to sneeze at to be considered top 10 all time. Okay, when we talk about top five, I think it's debatable, but I think when it comes to Drew Brees, that is the only thing that's available, that's debatable. I don't think there's anything else about him that's debatable based on his resume. When you're number one in passing yards, when you're number one in touchdowns or completions as well, when you're number one in those categories, when you've got a Super Bowl championship, when your career level of accuracy equates at around 67%, when you spent the vast majority of the last decade completing over 70% of your passes in history, every season, I just look at it from the standpoint that he's definitely one of the all-time greats. His lack of mobility and what have you, of course, Dan Marino had that same issue along with Dan Fouts and others. We get that, but I think that in today's era, you can hold that against Drew Brees to some degree, but again, only as it pertains to Super Bowl championships or lack thereof. The fact is, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're watching someplace, you need to look at Drew Brees' career, because we might be saying the same thing about you. If Aaron Rodgers has another Super Bowl title or two, we might call him the greatest quarterback ever. From a talent perspective, a lot of us feel that way already. But we might be talking about that. But the reason why it's not something that we even discuss is because one Super Bowl championship, the last one coming in 2010, is just not good enough for somebody of his caliber. Yeah. Well, Drew Brees got the Super Bowl championship the year before, and that was his only Super Bowl championship, even though there was some fluke plays that happened that were no fault of his own that prevented him from getting a second one.
Yeah. less playoff success. Let me get in here really quickly, Max, because here's what I need to know from you. When we're talking about top 10, and then, Dan, obviously I want you to jump in and Stephen A., where do you have him? I want these rankings. Like, is he number five? Is he number six? Is he number seven? Like, give me your top 10, and then, Dan, I want your top five.
Okay.
I did a list, last year, and I had Breeze ninth or 10th. And, by the way, that's before you start to count in Mahomes. Like, Mahomes' peak is already clearly a lot better than Drew Brees' peak. But, you know, guys like Staubach and Terry Bradshaw and guys like that, we're really not thinking about anymore. But you have to contextualize. You have to put them in their era. Like, when Brett Favre retired, however you want to look at him in retrospect, he was considered by some the greatest quarterback ever. I never agreed with that. But he was considered at a higher level in his, you know, at his position year in and year out than Brees was. You know, he was. It was a bigger deal when Favre called it quits because he was considered a greater quarterback. That's Brett Favre. John Elway is sometimes, still has adherence until Brady blew everyone away, a million Super Bowl wins. Some people were still saying maybe Elway is the best they'd seen. Marino didn't have all the Super Bowls, but for talent was way up there. The guys that I just mentioned were considered in their era at their best, I think, better than Brees. Now, Brees had longevity. Brees, as Dan points out, he was a smaller quarterback who showed you can do it. I'd mentioned the impact he had in New Orleans and the accuracy we all talked about. Like, all those things are true. And yet, when you want to talk about where he was in his era, there's Brady and Montana, Peyton Manning, who are contemporaries of Brees and considered better, Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Then there's guys like Favre, Elway, Marino, and forget, I'm not even going back to Staubach and Bradshaw or Johnny Unitas or someone like that, but now Patrick Mahomes. There are a lot of guys. I think Brees, because of the longevity, along with the greatness, is in the top 10, ninth or 10th.
Go ahead, Dan.
My top five are Peyton, Rodgers, Elway, and Drew Brees. Now, I send out this, like, I wanted to be able to
over
say
Joe
guys.
Montana.
Because here's, I'm just being honest with you, Max. Like, I want to say guys that I was actually old enough to know what I was watching. Like, Montana's years of greatness when I was a single-digit kid, okay? So, like, I wanted to say guys that I actually, like, watched and actually knew kind of what I was watching. I can't keep Drew Brees off of it.
I can't find a reason to keep Drew Brees off of it. With all due respect, Dan Orlovsky, that is an absolutely unacceptable explanation coming from you. You are not just somebody who played the game. You're somebody that's incredibly knowledgeable about the game. And, excuse me, you have a clue about history. To sit up there and act like Joe Montana played in the 50s before you were born, for crying out, or something like that, is absolutely
Dan's only about 17.
Ridiculous.
Look,
I'm not, I mean, are you kidding me? The fact of the matter is that you saw Joe Montana play football.
A little bit, yes, but I wasn't.
Okay. I'm saying is this. If you're going to disagree, just say, hey, I disagree because I think Drew Brees was better than Joe Montana. Don't sit here and say, I just want to defer to people that I actually watched. And people say, you watch Joe Montana play the damn game of football.
I can
you
say
know
why
that.
I disagree, though. And I also will say this. Joe Montana went to a stable organization.
Okay,
John Elway
then
was
say
part
it.
Of a stable organization. Peyton, Tom,
time
look,
out,
Drew
time
Brees
out,
went to a
out.
Disaster
time, no, no, no,
in New Orleans.
Out.
That
that's
was
not
real
the
life
point.
Disaster.
That, all and, of those are accurate points, Orlovsky. I'm saying that's not what you said. You sat up there and tried to say that, excuse me, I'm a bit too young to sit up there and remember Joe Montana. No, you're not. You store and play.
But
you disagree with it, you disagree with it. But don't tell us that, I want to defer to people that we actually got to watch.
Dan, if we were talking about all-time lists in baseball, there are guys I never watched, but there's a record of them. Like Joe Montana won four Super Bowls, 13 interceptions, 13 touchdowns, zero interceptions in those Super Bowls, won multiple regular season MVPs, multiple Super Bowl MVPs. Drew Brees just is not in that category. It's two different categories.
But Joe Montana never had to deal with that Minnesota Miracle moment that would have given him another Super Bowl opportunity. Drew Brees. Joe Montana didn't have the horrific officiating mistake that happened against the Rams that probably had a good chance to beat that New England Patriot team. So if we want to sit here and, like, compare the Super
continued.
Bowl wins as part of it, we've also got to put the context of why he never got back to those in there as well.
Montana went to the Kansas City, went to the AFC championship game right away.
Drew didn't play for
him.
He was
in New
Orleans.
Dan, Sorry, Dan, Molly. Here's the good news. I know you're getting a little beat up this morning, but you have a great tan, looking fabulous, and UConn's back in the tournament.
Let's go,
since
puppies!
2016,
we haven't soft. Been in Gotta the tournament. Stay hungry.
Let's go, Huskies.
Lost
All right,
the
so
tiger.
That's where we're at. Dan, I'll
y'all,
see you
y'all
on
did
NFL
just,
Live.
Molly, y'all
we'll
did
be,
just finish
we'll
losing.
We'll be texting Saturday after
you,
we stop Maryland.
You did just finish losing in the Big East tournament. You did lose in the Big East tournament. I did.
Stephen A., your school, you guys, Stephen A., is your school, are you guys in?
No, I mean the Division II school.
Nope. Is Columbia? Wait, is Columbia?
I'm staying out of this.
Okay.
I didn't say anything.
Is Columbia?
Just checking.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so. Yeah, just checking. Good stuff. Dan, I'll talk to you.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Yes, it is back, y'all. March Madness is back, and so is Jay Billis, Mr. College Basketball. Oh, and Stephen A., you have someone to help us out here? What's happening?
Yeah, you know, I got to get into the conscious. I got to get into the brain of everybody, you know. Pulling out your brackets or whatever. I got to make sure Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg and Reese Davis and the crew are on point. So, Mini Stephen A. will be visiting.
Mini Stephen A. is already in my kitchen rattling the pots and pans. It's already been in there.
Right? Yeah. I don't know if Mini Stephen A. is the angel on your shoulder or the devil. I don't know which one. But that's
well,
when you know you
angel.
Made it, Stephen A., when you
I'm
got a mini doll action figure. Oh, you are. Oh, wait.
They made that before you lost the 15 pounds, I think, Stephen A.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
You guys are unbelievable.
It's before
worse
I lost
than
the 15
women.
Pounds. But I will say this.
Good likeness, though.
At least I did lose 15 pounds.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Can I talk to Jay Billis?
Yes, you can, Molly.
Because I don't have him all day.
Yes,
he has better things to do. Yeah. Okay, Jay, I'm a huge UConn fan. I went there, followed them since I'm a kid. I'm so happy they're back in the tournament. This has been a terrible year. So excited to have March Madness back. Feels like a distraction, sense of normalcy. But tell me, this is your livelihood. What does it mean to you to have it back, the brackets in the tournament?
It's great, I think, for anybody to have anything back to some sense of normalcy in their chosen field is just fantastic. And for this, this is so much fun every year. And look, I love everything about basketball. So whether it's the NBA or high school basketball or FIBA, I watch it all and I consume it all. But there's something special about this tournament that captures the attention of the entire country. That when we didn't have it last year, we missed it. In the grand scheme of things, everybody understood, but to have it back is really, really cool.
Jay Billis, I mean, I sit here today incredibly excited about it. It's beautiful to have March Madness back and what have you, but I don't even know how to feel about the fact that there's no Kentucky, there's no Duke. I just don't know what to say. Could you talk to us about the absence of these two and what it means to the tournament to not have these two teams in there?
Well, the tournament will survive, and college basketball will survive, and both Duke and Kentucky will. We've had, over the years, maybe, I think it was 1996 was the last time that Duke was not in the tournament, or 95 was the last time Duke wasn't in the tournament, and Kentucky didn't make it 5 years ago or something when Nerlens Noel got hurt. So they'll be back. I'm not worried about it, but it does kind of diminish the brand names of it. But a lot of people may like that. But this year, I don't think anybody's going to worry about it because we've got big shots at the top with Gonzaga, you know, Baylor, Illinois, Michigan. But it does indicate that not all number one recruiting classes are the same. And when you don't have the superstar talent and you're young, you can be just like everybody else in a lot of games.
Yeah, no Kentucky, no Duke. But, Jay, if I were to say to someone, boy, that Alabama defense, you know, they might win the whole thing. Like, before, we're talking about basketball, Alabama and Ohio State, right? What's going on? These typical, like, football program schools have some of the best teams in the country this year.
Well, Ohio State's good all the time. I mean, they've had a great program there. They've been in the Final Four. They were last in the Final Four, I think, in 2012. But they're good all the time. Alabama has knocked on the door of being good for a while, but they're legit this year. Nate Oates was a high school coach in Detroit and is a math guy. And talk about an analytics guy. But they're really good defensively, but they can really shoot the three. And they've got a player named Herb Jones that is the player of the year in the SEC. He's big time. So I think Alabama is Final Four good.
Jay, let me ask you this. We mentioned some of the teams not in it. Louisville, Kentucky, but Rick Pitino back in it, this time taking Iona. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's got nine lives. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's pretty cool to have Rick Pitino back and to have him back in the tournament. And it was funny. He was on our bracketology show last night and coming over FaceTime or something, like Zoom, whatever it was. And he was isolating in his hotel room in Indianapolis. And it did not look like a luxurious suite like he would have had in one of the top hotels as a high seed at either Kentucky or Louisville. It was a single room and it looked like a hostage video. We joked about it before he came on, and he said as a 15 seed, you don't get the best hotel rooms, and just laughing about it. But it is good to have him back. But Iona's been in the tournament the last 5 years. Like, Tim Kloos had that program in really good shape when Rick took it over, and it's only going to get better from here.
Sleepers in this NCAA tournament. When we use that word, Jay Billis, what teams jump out in your mind?
Well, I mean, sleepers usually means a first and second round upsets to me. It's funny, Stephen A., like, you've got a bunch of double-digit seeds that are major conference teams. So a lot of times, like, you're going to be looking at Rutgers as a 10 or Syracuse as an 11 or Michigan State as an 11, and those are upset picks. I don't look at those as upsets. A couple of the early upsets that I see that are going to be interesting for brackets are going to be in the West, and that is Ohio. Ohio has a point guard named Jason Preston who's going to be a first-round draft pick. He's kind of the LaMelo Ball of this tournament. Averages 16 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He's a triple-double guy and very, very talented, fun to watch. They've got a good team, and Ohio U can win in the first round. The other is UC Santa Barbara. They've got really good guards, and I would not be surprised to see UC Santa Barbara beat Creighton in the first round. Creighton did not play well against Georgetown. They got blown out. They've had obviously some issues they're dealing with, but I see UC Santa Barbara as a pretty darn good upset pick. The other one is Winthrop. They're playing against Villanova, and Winthrop can play fast. They've got a point guard, 6'7", Chandler Vaudrin, who's a lefty, kind of got an old man game, another triple-double threat who's had him in the past. And they've got a 270-pound, 6'7", low post threat named DJ Burns, a lefty. They're both lefties, actually. And they're good enough to beat a Villanova team that is diminished without having Colin Gillespie. He got injured, so he's not going to be playing the rest of the year. I still would favor Villanova, but Winthrop can beat them.
Meantime, speaking of injury, Isaiah Livers, he's a senior with Michigan, with a stress fracture in his foot, real good player, co-captain. What does that mean for their chances? Do you know whether, I have not heard that he's coming back. They said indefinitely with a stress fracture, and what does that mean for their tournament chances?
Well, my understanding, Max, is it's a stress reaction, which can, if not properly taken care of, lead to a stress fracture. So I don't know whether he's going to be back for the first round that they're playing in. But without Isaiah Livers, Michigan is compromised. They're still really good, and they're still good offensively, but they're not elite without him. He makes them elite as an offensive team. Overall, he's their best player, I believe. And so I think that puts them, it gives them a little bit of pause if they, I shouldn't say pause now with what pause means, but it gives them a little bit of concern when they go into the second round. They could be playing LSU, and that's a really dangerous game if they have Livers, because LSU is super talented, and they're actually starting to guard people now. They didn't do that earlier in the year. So that's sort of an upset alert there for Michigan in the second round if they get LSU. And without Livers, it's really an upset alert.
Bummer for Juwan Howard. I really wish they were fully healthy. He's done an exceptional job taking over that program. All right, I really want to ask you about a 7-10 matchup in the East region, but this is a national show, so I'm going to avoid that. Can you really quickly give us your Final Four and your winner, Jay?
Final Four, I've got Alabama. I've got Gonzaga. I think Illinois is going to make the Final Four, and I think Baylor is going to do well in its bracket, even though it had some COVID issues not too long ago. And then I've got Illinois and Gonzaga in the final, and I think Gonzaga is going to cut the nets down and be the first undefeated team since Indiana in 1976, which, oddly enough, was the last time that both Duke and Kentucky did not make the field.
Jay, great to have the tournament back. Great to have you with us. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll be watching you all March.
Stay out of my head, Mini Stephen A.
He will be watching.
Stay out of my head.
He will be watching you, Jay. God.
Mini Stephen A is going to give me nightmares.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Norman High School gained national attention after the racist words of broadcaster Matt Rowan were heard ahead of the playing of the team's quarterfinal game Thursday. The incident occurred as the Star Spangled Banner began to play. The broadcaster told their listeners on the NFHS network stream they would return after a break, and then one, not realizing the audio was still live, used an expletive and an epithet as the Norman players kneeled. Now here's an apology from Matt Rowan. Listen to this closely. During the Norman High School girls basketball game against Midwest City, I made an inappropriate and racist comments, believing that the microphone was off. However, let me state immediately, that is no excuse. Such comments should have never been uttered. I will state that I suffer from type 1 diabetes, and during the game, my sugar was spiking. While not excusing my remarks, it is not unusual when my sugar spikes that I become disoriented and often say things that are not appropriate as well as hurtful. I do not believe that I would have made such horrible statements absent of my sugar spiking. I wish I was debating this topic. Okay, Stephen A., you go first.
Actually, Molly, not to dissuade the audience from watching, but this is not a debatable item. I don't think Max and I are going to debate on this at all.
Not.
I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I laugh to some degree because I'll give Matt Rowan credit for this much. I mean, it was a very unique excuse.
I mean, type. Yeah, he's got diabetes, and because of that, he's a bit, he's a bit foggy at times. And as a result, it would force you to use to use those words to describe and essentially cuss at these young ladies. And why? Because they took a knee during the national anthem. Did he not know that it was shortly after, you know, the situation with George Floyd from a civil suit perspective was being addressed and handled in Minnesota? Did he not know that it was the anniversary of Breonna Taylor's killing? Did he not know those things? And so when we look at it from that perspective, what amazes me, Max, first of all, he should be fired. There's no question about it. He should be fired. That wasn't a mistake, and I don't want to hear anything about no type 1 or type 2 diabetes. I don't want to hear it. The man should go. That's number one. I don't know why he still has a job this morning, to be quite honest with you, because it was clearly an incendiary remark that he aimed in the direction of those young ladies. And why exactly was he doing that? Because they took a knee. Because they took a knee. And once again, here we have, is in all likelihood, is a situation where people are convoluting the issue of taking a knee, and as a result, that means you're speaking against this nation, and you're aiming your ire at the direction of individuals who you think are disrespecting our flag and stuff like that, which is not what Colin Kaepernick was doing when he elected to take a knee. It's amazing that none of these people made these mistakes, Max, and all of them were quiet, people like him. When folks stormed the Capitol,
no sugar spikes then.
Oh, no sugar spikes then.
Nothing like that.
They
were dieting at that time.
Watching the sugar intake. Exactly. He was exercising. He was on the treadmill. He was on the Peloton. Yeah. He was taking his insulin shots. Whatever. No spiking. Yeah. He was absolutely fine then. When folks were, riding on the Capitol, in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, right? And all I would say is this: Dave Chappelle, the great Dave Chappelle, his latest joint on Netflix, where he's talking about those folks storming the Capitol, he also highlighted the years, the decades, the centuries that black folks have endured what we endured, and we've never stormed the Capitol. Okay? But I love how folks want to get patriotic, what they call themselves patriotic then, you know, when it comes to something like this. But when folks are committing violence and engaging in lawlessness against our elected officials, oh, no, there's no issue then. We're supposed to be woke. We're not woke, ladies and gentlemen. We call this a woke society at this particular moment in time. No. There are people out there that are incredibly resentful of a whole lot of things pertaining to African Americans and others in this country. And this is just the latest example of it, Max.
The Capitol point's very good. No sugar spikes at that point for some reason.
No, of course not.
Last week Myers Leonard said something.
Yep.
It was a racial insult towards Jews. And my point of view, and I'm Jewish, was that I want to know more. I have questions. Does he talk in private that way and not realize where he was? Or does he actually harbor those kind of feelings, you know? I think of DeSean Jackson and how I reacted much stronger to that than to Myers Leonard, because DeSean Jackson actually quoted Hitler and then highlighted points that were especially anti-Semitic. But wait a minute. I got a lot of questions for DeSean Jackson. So let me frame this in terms of questions I have, Stephen A.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, even if your sugar is spiking, let's take him at his word. He has, you know, why is that what comes out? Why would you use that word? But not only that, in your workplace, where other people can hear you, even if that's not going over the airwaves, you would think he's aware that colleagues could hear him.
Yeah.
Why does he feel comfortable enough in that setting, in that milieu, in that work culture, that he can say that out loud? And how did he use the word? He used it as though someone who would do that is ungrateful somehow and the worst kind of stereotype of that group because they disagreed with him politically about something, or I gotta say, when we go over these incidents, and the different kind of times that people have said things that they regretted, and athletes sometimes do it. They'll use a word that has come to just be disparaging toward men, for example, and not realize, actually, that's a slur against gay people that's hurtful, right? Mm-hmm. And but it's in their vernacular. They say, look, I have to clean that up. When I was growing up, this is how people spoke, and they don't do that anymore, thankfully. I got to clean that up. This, out of all these kind of incidents, this is the worst I can remember, Stephen A., because he said it out loud within earshot, ostensibly, of colleagues.
Yep.
How do you feel comfortable enough to say that at work? What does that say about your belief, about the values that people around you share with you as it relates to that? This is indefensible, and I also agree he should not be working there. And also that even his explanation, Stephen A., his excuse, mm-hmm. his sugar, and then he says things that are hurtful. Why that thing? Address that. And then I want to know, how do you feel about people who protest that way?
Yeah, well, you have questions. I don't have questions when it comes to him. Usually we have questions. We're fair-minded, and we're not of the cancer culture per se. We're not advocates of everybody losing their jobs.
But this ain't that.
Every little mistake they make or whatever. This is not that, okay? I never thought that Miles Leonard should lose his career in the NBA or anything like that. You need to give an explanation, give a contrite apology, move forward, et cetera, et cetera, as I felt in many instances. But I'll tell you exactly why or what could contribute to Max to him feeling. Why would you say that around other people? Why did you feel you could get away with that? Well, let's take a look at this statement. The National Federation of State High School Associations. This is what they said in the statement, according to an article I'm reading right now. They're sickened by the remarks and that it had cut ties, Max, with the third-party production crew. This is what they're saying. The production crew that was involved, quote, the thoughts expressed in no way represent our network, and we are outraged that they found their way into the production. We are aggressively investigating the incident and have immediately cut ties with the third-party production crew that was involved. Okay, fine. But isn't the first order of business him? The individual that actually said that? What about him? What are you going to say about him? We don't want to hear about no third-party production. Now, you could tell us that a few days from now, a week from now, a month from now. But right now, he's the one that said that.
Real quick, when Riley Cooper dropped an N-bomb at a Kenny Chesney concert,
he
came out and apologized, said he was ashamed of himself.
Right.
His parents said that's not the way they raised him. He said, I was not raised that way. He was completely transparent and clear. He messed up and brought, you know, disgrace to the... And by the way, got back in his teammate's good graces and wound up working again. This excuse from this broadcaster does not hold water.
At all. At all.
I just want to say one thing really quickly. I know we have to go, you guys. First of all, the Norman High School team, they went on to win their state tournament. So huge
undefeated.
Congrats to the ladies for being resilient. And as somebody who has a chronic illness, you guys have seen me in person when I've been in a lot of pain, something I deal with every day of my life. It irks me so much that he used that as an excuse. If he just owned up to it, don't blame it on that. Some days you don't feel your best. You're not the best version of yourself, but all of a sudden, hate doesn't come out of your heart. Mm-hmm. Frankly, that was embarrassing. And I'm sorry that he suffers from type 1 diabetes. It's awful to deal with a chronic illness every day of your life, but that's unacceptable and inexcusable and frankly embarrassing, whoever's directing him. I just had to put that out there and give my perspective on that one.
I'm deeply appreciative of your position, Molly, but I have to tell you, there is a silver lining that comes with what he said. He exposed himself even more because it was so pathetic.
No accountability.
And so embarrassing. And such devoid
so
of accountability that he truly revealed who he is just as much with his weak explanation as he did with his comments.
You're right. And you know what, Stephen A., it's always good to know who you're dealing with, right?
Absolutely.
Continue to show us who you
Absolutely.
Are, and you got to believe them.
Maya Angelou.
Right.
When they show you who
guys.
They are,
believe them.
Yes.
Believe them.
Yeah. Believe them. Yeah. Sometimes it takes me a few times to learn that lesson.